Jesus said to his disciples, I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two, and two against three. A father will be divided against his son, and a son against his father. A mother against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother. A mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, good morning, everyone. Today we are looking at the end of the 12th chapter of Luke, and many scholars look at this part of Luke's gospel, and they refer to it as a classification. They would say the difficult sayings or difficult teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's difficult because we hear Jesus speak about fire, how he wants to set the world on fire, how there's this baptism and this anguish that he is going through, and that rather than peace, he's going to create divisions, even within families. And so these are difficult things for us to hear the Lord say, but I think that each one of us deals with each of these areas in our daily lives and in our journey as disciples of Jesus Christ. But I think we need to look at Jesus's own life first, understand how they apply with Jesus, and then look at our own lives, our own families, and we can see that just as Jesus went, so we also are following along through that. So the first thing we want to talk about is fire. And throughout the scriptures, fire often is associated with God's justice. And I think that there's a kind of a fire that convicts us that we've done something wrong. And so we could look at the fire of justice. Jesus came to reconcile God and man. And there's a lot of things that Jesus spoke about which called people to conversion. And so the fire that Jesus wants to bring into the hearts of man is a sense of our need of forgiveness, our sense of our need of Jesus, his forgiveness, and our great sense of conversion that we are called to. And when I look at this fire that Jesus wants to bring, we'll see that it's also part of our own experience. Jesus spoke about his baptism. Now, he had already been baptized in the water by John. And so the baptism he was speaking about is metaphorically. The Greeks used the word baptism metaphorically. For example, if a ship sank in the ocean, you could use the metaphorical sense of baptism, the ship had been submersed under the water. They used it metaphorically to speak about any great calamity that befell a man, some great weight on somebody's shoulder where it seemed like the mighty waters, had covered the person, and there's kind of like this symbolic death. That's another metaphorical way of talking about baptism. And so I think Jesus is looking forward towards his passion, that he knows that he's going to undergo this great trial, this ordeal, in regard to his faithfulness to God's plan for his life. And he talks about his anguish, that he has this anguish, great is his anguish, until this work is accomplished. And so there's this great work that Jesus knows is very difficult and will even feel like a death. And then Jesus speaks about the division. And it's true that in the early church especially, we look at the Roman Empire, one of the things that created so much fear in people's minds is they knew that if you became a Christian, by in the eyes of the emperor in Rome, you were an outsider. They were persecuting Christians, and oftentimes families got torn and divided because of their faithfulness to Christianity. And so we see that Jesus came to create these divisions because people will have to make a choice in their life. Am I standing for Christ, or do I make the choice of some other good that I prefer to fidelity to Christ? And so there's these divisions. And I think every one of us goes through that. If we're living authentically our faith, we will find ourselves going through a period of fire. And so I think of fire as at some point, if you're like me and you were baptized as a baby, at some point in your life, there comes a time of conviction. The early church fathers referred to it as a metanoia, a spiritual conversion, the realization that I'm a sinner, that I'm living in sin, and that I need Jesus to redeem me. And I think one place we see that kind of lived out is in the confessional. You want to feel like you're on fire? Come see me for confession, right? Because it's not a pleasant experience, right? We have to go and reveal our deepest, darkest secrets or our sins. And it's that sense of being on fire that I recognize that I'm not where I need to be. I think of the prodigal son and how he suffered. And then he finally woke up and said, this is not who I am. And he made that journey back home. So there's a conversion that has to come to all of us. And sometimes it comes through the RCIA process when a person's an adult. A very good friend of mine is, now he's a Catholic priest, but he talks about that fire when he was living as a Lutheran. He was a Lutheran before he became Catholic. And he said he came to the realization that he believed that the true church was the Roman Catholic Church. And he confided in me, he said, if I could have chosen Christ Church for him, I would have chosen the Lutheran Church because I liked it better. But he said, I'm not Christ. I'm not God. I don't get to make that choice. And after he examined his history of the church, as he examined his own faith, he came to the realization, you know what? I think that the church that Jesus founded was the Roman Catholic Church. And so he came to the realization that he was going to have to leave the church he grew up with, his father and mother, and become Roman Catholic. And so he talks about that kind of like it's like going through a trial or an ordeal, a fire, where he recognizes that he's not where he's supposed to be. And I think this is the fire that Jesus wants to come in. He's like, how I wish it were already blazing, that people would recognize their need for conversion in their life. And I think this is a big part of religion, is conversion. Last week or so ago, I was spent some time in California, and I met a beautiful young girl, and I asked her if she was a Christian. Now, I wanted to come straight out and ask her if she was Catholic, but I didn't want to be too bold, and so I'd take a baby step, and, you know, are you Christian? And I was a little disappointed with the way that she spoke about it. She says, no, I'm a spiritual person. I'm not a religious person. Because I don't agree with any one Christian church. You know, I've gone to this church and I didn't like this, and I went to this church and I didn't like that, and I tried another church and I didn't like this. And so I'm a spiritual person. I kind of do my own thing. And my response was to say, well, you've got it all wrong. You know, it's not about how you feel or what you would like to see. It's recognizing truth and binding yourself to that truth, which calls you then to conversion. And if you're just a spiritual person, there's no need for conversion because you just change the rules whenever you want. And there's no need or no real sense of burning and need for redemption, need for forgiveness, need for conversion. And so for me, as I thought about that, you know, I believe that the Roman Catholic Church was the church that Jesus founded. And that he only wanted there to be one. I believe that because in the scriptures, Jesus said, I pray, Father, that they may be one as you and I are one. It was his great prayer for the church. And one of the great scandals in the world is that there are so many divisions among Christian churches over some of the, maybe sometimes the silliest of differences. But we are called to recognize that truth, which is not me, it's outside of me, and I bind myself to that truth, and I'm called to a conversion toward it. And this is what the word religion means. It comes from the root Latin word religare, which means to bind oneself. And so if we're a religious person, we recognize that there is a truth, a beauty, that I am moving towards. And sometimes I may not agree with everything, but I recognize that I am a sinful person, that I need this conversion to happen. So I think everyone who authentically is living out their Christian faith and really asking, what does God want with my life? We go through that fire of conversion. And then we look at the baptism. Jesus spoke about this great thing that he must accomplish. And I think every one of us is destined for some kind of suffering, something that will seem to put you under. And I think if we are rooted and strong in our faith and we remain focused on Jesus, as we hear Paul say, as you run the race, you know, it's difficult. Especially, I love watching the Olympics and see how difficult it is to maintain that speed, and the effort makes me get out of my easy chair and start doing sit-ups. But you see that, and St. Paul used that analogy of the runner who runs in the race, and your lungs are burning and your muscles are burning. And St. Paul says, whatever you're going through, that agony or that trial, keep your focus on the Lord. Keep your faith in solid rock, the rock of our faith, Jesus Christ. Jesus referred to in one of his parables, he said, there was a man who built his house on sand, and the flood waters came and the rains came and washed out the foundation of that house, and it was completely destroyed. And then there was the man who built his house on a firm foundation, rock, and the flood waters came and the rains pounded the house, and the house remained standing. Notice that the flood waters came to both. Not one of us will go through life without some form of trial or tribulation. Every one of us will go through some form of baptism, some great thing that is going to test our integrity, to test the integrity of our faith. You know, as I was watching these Olympics, I don't know if you've heard the story about Michael Phelps, who has become now the most decorated Olympian ever in history. And he went through some pretty dark times at the end of last Olympics. And he thought life has no meaning or purpose. Somebody gave him a copy of a book called The Purpose-Driven Life that was written by Rick Warren. And it changed his life all around when he began to focus on God's will for him. And he's beginning, I believe, to build a foundation. And so I think all of us are going to find in life tribulation, things that are gonna rock you. You know, sometimes when people experience those tribulations in life, there's a temptation to say, maybe God doesn't really exist. Why is he allowing this to happen? St. Paul is telling us in this reading, no matter how difficult the race is, keep your focus on the Lord, and you will get through that tribulation. You'll get through that baptism. And so I think all of us go through something like that. It'll be different for each of us, but all of us will go through some difficult thing where our faith is going to be tested. It's not going to be easy. So I think sometimes people think, if I go to church, I say my prayers, life will be easy. That's not true. Even in the life of a priest, I can tell you that's not true. There are always tribulations. Jesus spoke about division. And I think that if anybody who is living authentically your faith, you are going to find people in society that hate you, that don't agree with you, and even find your beliefs to be dangerous. And it only makes sense that they would think that way and feel that way, because we believe that we live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world, and in that fallen world, sometimes people see things backwards. And so if we speak truth to people, they may be offended by our words or even see them as dangerous. But living out authentically our Catholic faith often means that there will be division between what we believe and what society holds as good morals. And we will even find that in our own families. And I'll tell you, if you think that I'm a priest and so my family must be perfect, you'd be greatly mistaken. I have a brother that has become an evangelical Christian, and I have a sister who is no longer practicing her faith at all. And you may say, well, how could that happen to you? You're a priest. And I'll just point to the scripture passage that Jesus said it will happen. There will be divisions even in your families. And I'm sure it happened in the lives of some of the disciples as well. And so the emphasis there is that there will be pressure on us to give in what we believe to be truths in order to fit in and not create a division in our families or in society as a whole. And our great challenge, brothers and sisters, in each of our lives is that we remain authentic to what we believe, even if it is going to cause division. And so Jesus is saying it's okay that there's divisions there. There needs to be, because you have to stand up for the truth. Somebody has to suffer that division so that the truth can be seen above what all the falsehoods are. And so this may sound pretty depressing to you, I don't know. But it may say, that's why these are called the difficult sayings of Jesus. But I will tell you from my own experience that when I am most authentically living my faith, somehow, even through the tribulations and the divisions that are there, when I am authentically living my faith, somehow I am the happiest I've ever been. And God gives us this joy that comes from knowing that we are following his plan in our life. God gives us this kind of joy and peace. And so even though we go through fire, we go through baptism, we go through divisions, when we are living the life that God calls us to, you will find that you're the happiest you've ever been and that you're at peace. I pray that we may all recognize these things in our own life, that we do go through purification. We bind ourselves to a beauty and a truth outside of ourselves, and sometimes we go through that fire. If you're in that fire, you're in a good place. You're going through a conversion. We go through those tribulations. We keep our focus on Jesus. If you're going through a tribulation, you're in a good place. Jesus spoke about his own tribulation. We keep our focus on the Lord. And if we find ourselves living in all kinds of division and fighting, maybe in our society or even our own families, we're in a good place because we're being authentically Christian. I remember a professor in the seminary, he said, if people aren't upset about your homily sometime, you're probably not preaching the truth that it should be, because you should be creating some division, some people out there who are not authentically converted. Sometimes you are going to experience that. So if you're experiencing division in your life because you're authentically living out your faith, you're in a good place. And I think that if we are doing those things, we will find also somehow, it doesn't make sense, but we are filled with joy.